Well, welcome to the Repost Non-League Show. After all the technical difficulties, we're here for the next hour. And really pleased to say that joining us for the show tonight, of course, he's down the bottom right-hand corner. And of course, he's the one and only Mr. Andrew Mortlock. Nice to have you, mate.
Good evening. Good evening, David.
And I'll give you the reason why I paused before I introduced Andrew, but we'll go into that later. And of course, we've got Marcus, the manager of Great Wakering Rovers.
Evening.
How are we, mate?
All good, thank you.
Good. And of course, we've got Misha and Lee with us as well, of course, for the Essex Senior League, and of course, with their cup draws as well. So, welcome, guys.
Evening.
Evening.
So, as we normally do, Andrew, Marcus, when we've got cup draws, we'll get them out of the way first because I know Misha and Lee have got an important meeting to get to as well. So, we'll start off with them if that's okay, guys. And I know Marcus has got an added interest in this because I think you're still in it, aren't you, Marcus?
Yeah, still in both, yeah.
Okay, so Michelle Lee, over to you.
At the moment, we're just drawing a Peter Butcher, if that's all right for you tonight, because none of the ties have been played yet in the Rob Errington for the quarter final, so it would have been an if or buts all the way through. So
Yeah,
we'll do that
that's
at a
fine.
later date.
Yeah, of
Yeah.
course you can. Yeah, no problem at
So
all.
if I get Michelle just to draw the home teams for my super duper glass.
Can we just have the numbers in that first, just so we know who's in
Yeah,
it? Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
fine.
Sorry, number one.
Yeah.
Halstead or Great Wakering?
2 seconds. Let me write these down. Yep.
Number two, Woodford.
Yep.
Number three, Saffron Walden.
Yep.
And number four, Little Oakley.
Some nice away days there.
Who beat Romford? Beat Romford in nothing. So, out of that then, Marcus, who would you fancy if you get past Halstead?
Anyone at home because we're away for all of them.
Let's see how it pans out. Okay, Misha, over to you.
Okay, let's have a look. Halstead or Great Wakering?
There you go, you're at home.
We've got win first.
Yeah, you got win first.
Yep.
They will play Woodford Town.
Ooh. Okay. And I've got Saffron Walden Town.
Yeah.
Against Little Oakley. And the
What
dates
out?
will.
Go
So we're
away.
going to say the dates we're looking at will be either the 4th or the 5th of March, the week. That's the Tuesday or Wednesday of that week.
Okay. And what I haven't told you, Marcus, is even though you've been drawing at Iris on neutral pitches. But pleased with that, Woodford. That's going to be a great time, Marcus, isn't
Yeah,
it?
so
Yeah.
we've got a really difficult tie first. We still got to get past Halstead, who are much improved, to be honest. I think especially since the start of the season, we played them around Christmas time, and they're a better side, to be honest. And the results lately have picked up as well. So we're not going to take that one for lightly, that's for sure.
And the other ties, I mean, Saffron Walden and Little Oakley. I mean, Lee, I mean, that's going to be pretty tasty as well.
So yeah, Little Oakley are no easy game for anybody really. And Saffron Walden, they're a good cup side, so we'll see what happens. Excuse me.
That's all right. I mean, just very quickly, before we let you go, because I know you've got a meeting to get to. But I mean, are you, it's not as what's the word I'm looking for? Not disappointed, but I mean, this time last year, of course, we were heading towards an All Essex Senior League final in the FA Bars, and am I right in saying that there's no one left now from the Essex Senior League?
No, unfortunately, White Ends are our last team, and they lost on penalties just the weekend gone. But it was a great weekend last year. But we'll let someone else have a chance this year, and when the Essex Senior League will be back next year for it. So,
White Ensign made history as well. It's the furthest they've been, so it's no mean feat, is it, getting
no.
to the fourth round?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a great competition. I mean, as Marcus knows, it was a, well, it was a great day for the league, great day for Romford. But just would you say just a good day for you, Marcus?
Yeah. Well, it was an experience of a lifetime. Yeah,
Yeah.
and that goes for everyone that was involved. It was an experience of a lifetime. Obviously, the result was didn't go our way, but yeah, it's one that I'm sure people will never forget.
Yeah, no,
hard
absolutely.
work though, wasn't it?
Very much.
I think Marcus, we all enjoyed the journey to get there as well. I mean, some of the days we had away from home and at home were very good, and we tried to follow, you know, as much as we could. Both teams have got to the final, and you know, there had to be one winner, but on the day, the big winner was for us, Essex Senior League, because the two teams done us really proud.
And I think you know, as I say, we'll go into it more with Marcus later, but I mean, for me, on the day as well, it was just fantastic how Wembley sort of, for me, made it feel like it was even, I don't know, a Real Madrid Barcelona Champions League final. I mean, that you know, I'd be very surprised if the two teams were treated any differently to, you know, to the way that Great Wakering and Romford were. I mean, I know you weren't in the main dressing rooms, but I mean, it was definitely a day that I think every single player that took part, coaching session, and you know, and people that were connected with the clubs would never forget.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Misha, Lee, thanks for joining us, and I know you've got to get away. And so,
yeah, sorry. As always, we have to rush on a Monday.
That's all right. It's not a problem whatsoever. And we'll let you go, and then and we'll see you soon for the other semi-final draw.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Have a good evening.
See you later.
Bye.
Right, so and there was a reason earlier on, Marcus, as well, and that I sort of paused before I interviewed, introduced Andrew. And Andrew, what title do I need to give you now, mate?
ex-chairman.
Marcus, if you don't mind, we'll start with Andrew, and then we'll come back to you in a bit. But I mean, Andrew, I mean, I was watching it, and you know, a couple of two or three surprises, sort of, you know, this sort of season. And of course, first of all, I suppose one of the first surprises was I was just sitting here one day, just looking at Twitter and or X, whichever you want to call it, and all of a sudden something happened that I'd never thought would happen, which was of course Keith being made manager of Phoenix Sports. I mean, how did that come about in the first place?
Well, the end of last season. Probably a lot of non-league clubs, but certainly for Phoenix, we were in a situation where we were struggling financially a bit. So we sat down at the end of the season with the previous manager, Steve O'Ball, spoke about basically budget cuts, which, you know, it was a hard one. We didn't want to do it, but it was, you know, the club comes first. We've been in that situation for a few years where, since COVID, bills have gone up and revenue have gone down. People are not using the facility as much as they were. So anyway, so cut long story short, we sat with Boyley, and he decided, after some thought, that he couldn't continue managing the team in the Isthmian League on the budget that we offered him, which we accepted and understood. We was disappointed. So he left. So it sort of left us, obviously, managerless. We advertised. We had 30 plus applicants. We narrowed it down to 7 that we shortlisted. And yeah, Keith was, to be honest, and Keith knows this, it was a tricky one, because I did say to Keith, he's a close friend of mine, and one of my worries was that if it ever, which sort of has happened, you know, a tough decision to be made, I don't want to lose a friendship on the back of football. So Keith assured me that, you know, we're mates, football's different, and he was the best candidate that we had. And, you know, out of the 7 candidates, and Keith took on the role. And to be fair, you know, Keith, you know, very well, he's very hardworking. He's managed that level and above, but the way our crazy has gone over the last few years with wage demands, etc., he got a team together, but we were struggling. You know, it wasn't what I would call, they were showing signs of improvement, but Bet 4, certainly our league, South East, there's no, you know, hiding place, not every game's a tough one. And, yeah, it was tough. It was short for Keith. And I'll give the reasons in a bit why he, a bit of a strange one, why we had to part company. It wasn't really, just on his, it wasn't at all on his football, what he was doing for him. Just where we had people approach about coming into the club with investment, which the club needs to improve the facility. And part of the deal with the new guys or new guy coming in was they wanted their own man in charge. And unfortunately, Keith sort of come out worse on it because obviously it wasn't Keith they wanted. So it was a really tough one. And we did fight his corner as much as we could and said we'd like him to continue, especially with an increased budget that Darren got, the new guy that came in. But you know, a lot of people, I understand when managers move, they have their players. And this guy coming in, investing it, he had a manager that he knew and trusted and wanted to put in place. So that was how it happened. It was tricky with Keith, and as I say, he's a close friend of yours, a close friend of mine. And we had a few, you know, he wasn't happy. So he was a bit unhappy with me and unhappy with Phoenix. But I think deep down he knew that the decision wasn't my decision or our decision. It was a circumstances, and he came out worse on it.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've not spoken to him about it. I've not had that conversation with him around it. I just, you know, I just sent him like, you know, commiserations type of thing, you know, when it happened. But I mean, it must have been difficult for you though, as a good friend of his, you know, to actually have to sort of give him that sort of news.
It was, but when I explained it, it wasn't, although our record at the time, we had 1 point at 8 home games, but eight home games, 8 league games. You know, it was hardly a lot of, you know, a lot of games, but we had 1 point, we were bottom of the table. So it could have been on, but ultimately he was working on a tough budget, and there were signs of improvement. But really, the decision was out of our hands. Really, someone like Tony Crowder, guy who's coming with a team, you know, the guys who have joined the board. Tony's very passionate on league football. After several meetings, we decided to bring him into the club. And as I say, really, Keith was the only casualty, but it's a big one. And it was tricky, but it wasn't like Keith, I'm sacking you because you're doing a bad job. It was a case of
Yeah.
links with Darren Anslow, who's our manager at the moment, through Beckenham Town, and that was his man. So unfortunately, it was Keith that got the you know the touch at the end of it. We were in what was still in the you know, relegation place. Still having a tough season.
So you're breaking up a little bit. I must admit, your signal's breaking up a little bit. But I mean, in all, but I mean, the other big decision around that was you know, something I never thought I'd ever see happen. Was he still standing down as chairman?
Well, look, there's a few reasons behind that. I mean, I was chairman. So part of me, I'm 50, just turned 54. And I sort of had in my head 55 was a bit of a maybe come to an end a year before. But I don't know if you know, you probably do know, but the vice chairman who joined at the same time as me, Stephen House, who did, you know, vice chairman, he did amazing job for the club, but he sadly lost his battle with cancer at the end of November. And it really knocked the wind out of my sails in regard. Phoenix, because we started together, we worked together, we built the club from Kent County Division Two up to the Isthmian League. We helped improve facilities, improved the whole club, the junior section, etc., etc. So with Steve passing, you know, and he was battling cancer for a good 8 9 months. It was tough for me. I felt my sort of right arm had been cut off. So that was one of the reasons. And as I say, when Steve was still with us, Tony had approached us. So Steve was part of the discussions, the initial discussions with Tony Crowder. And it's football fell into place that Tony's coming in, and rightly so. He's going to be investing in the facilities at the club. He's employed a guy, Jimmy, who's working full time now at the club as a sort of director of operations. He's going to be doing many different roles, but fantastically full time, so he can concentrate on various things. That when we're voluntary, you've got your own jobs and you can't give it your full amount of time. But Tony came in, and I wasn't 100% comfortable as being chairman with a guy who's investing, because I said to Tony, if I don't agree with one of your decisions and it has to go to a vote, and ultimately, if it's a vote that's, you know, you can't get a decision, I get the overall decision. And if I'm voting against someone who's putting his own hard earned money in, then that's right then. So I spoke to Tony and said, look, and I think he wasn't coming in to take over initially as chairman. He wanted to invest in the club, and he was very, let's say, passionate about non-league football. He runs a successful lawyers, but he's really passionate about non-league. And I said to him, you know, I'm not precious about being chairman, although I've done it 22 years. The club is ultimately, Phoenix is the most precious thing. And I feel that if you're going to be investing, then you should be chairman, which he obviously was keen to get, but I think he needed to hear that from me. But it sort of tied in well with the passing of my good friend Stephen, and with Tony coming in, that I stood down. I'm not walking away from the club by any stretch. I love Phoenix. I've given it a lot of time. All my boys have played there. The plan for me really is to continue for the time being, as you know, I'm still on the board of directors. I think my sort of experience will help the new guys with, you know, everyday business, really. A lot of administration. We've got a good community of people, but these guys are new to it. Every week there's an issue with a junior team, parents, and obviously moving forward, you know, the senior section, that takes a lot of talking to managers, managing their expectations, and there's a lot that goes with it. So I stood down as chairman, but I will still play a role. It's still a big part of me, and you know, a big place in my heart, and I want the best for it. And I'll do the PA for the matches, so they don't want to. But no,
With the actual form of the team as well, Andrew. I mean, you, as you say, you've got Enrift in there, and you've got Deal coming up as well at home, and then you've got big one away to Ramsgate, and then of course you've got Beckenham Town coming up away as well, which could be quite an interesting game as well.
But we've had, I mean, don't get me wrong, looking back to last season, Boyle did a fantastic job keeping us up. Everyone wrote us off. He made a couple of good signings towards the end of last season. Dexter Peter has just joined VCB, very good centre back who he was sort of our talisman for staying up last season, and Boyle worked well to keep us up. And then obviously Keith had a tough start, 1 point after 8 games. He had to build a team from scratch, because every player after Boyle left, we didn't have one player left. So Keith had a tough job on his hands. So he built a squad. They obviously were competing, but not picking up, you know, any points as such. And then obviously the change happened after 8 games. Darren Anslow comes in with his team. Bradley Pritchard, what a player he is. Great career he's had. Playing at 39. X amount of games for Charlton. He's an amazing player. And Sam, I can't remember. Anyway, he brought in his team. But again, he gave some of the players a chance, but then as new managers, he brought in slowly players he wanted to bring in. But it's so difficult mid-season, trying to sign players, trying to have it's not having a pre-season, mid-season, you know, so he's getting there, but we feel, you know, there's still changes week in, week out at the moment. And we look like a team who are not together as such at times. We look fantastic, and they play some great football, and he's brought in some, very exciting players. And at times, they look like strangers on the pitch. And Aaron would admit that. But they're getting there. I mean, they had a fantastic result away at Margate, drew 2-2 Saturday. And, I wasn't expecting Margate third or fourth. But they did really well, went behind twice, come back, had a player sent off with 18 minutes to go, and held on for a good point. But realistically, looking at the league table, I mean, we've still got 16, I believe, left. We need to pick up points, and there's no two ways about it. I mean, I'm confident, and Darren is confident in his squad, and he's brought in a new goalkeeper from Craig. Played in the game that where the cup game at Chelsea. I can't remember his name, but very good goalkeeper. So he's built in some very exciting players. But as probably Marcus says, it's hard to, when you're bringing in players on a weekly basis to get them, you don't have many sessions with them. And to get them gelled up for a Saturday when you're playing teams that are together, it's really hard. But, let's hope that they can have a good run in and we pick up.
Marcus, how hard is that in that sort of situation?
Yeah, it's really difficult. You don't really get the time. You train on a, I'd imagine a Tuesday and a Thursday. You get an hour and a half tops. It is really difficult to introduce new players into the group. But we've got a really together group where we are. A lot of the boys sort of stayed from last season, and then some that moved on have come back now. So. They have gelled quite quick, to be honest. I guess we're a little bit more fortunate this season with that. But it is difficult because you just don't get the time.
And that's what we found. I mean, to be honest, like Tony Crowder, the new chairman, part of their plan. They obviously want us to stay up, and they've got plans to, at some stage develop the ground, and they've got aspirations to push higher. But we've had honest conversations about, if the worst case happens, and we don't, we do go down, then they're prepared for that eventuality. And to be honest with you, I mean, I spoke to Gary Rumph, chairman of ECD, when we beat him in the playoff final a couple of seasons ago, and we were at step five and they were at step four, and it's a fantastic day. We won it last minute penalty, and it was a brilliant celebration. But in the bar afterwards, me and Gary had a chat and a drink, and I went, you know what? I said, you will enjoy your football, although you're going down. Next season, the season after, I thought they didn't have a great first season, but this season they're having a fantastic season. You'll enjoy your football because whatever level you play at, if you're winning games on a Saturday or Tuesday, whenever you play, that beer tastes so much nicer and you enjoy it. And to you, have I enjoyed the last couple of seasons? Probably honestly, not really. It's tough when you're down the bottom of the league, battling away, and you're going to games, i.e., you mentioned Ramsgate. Last season, we went to Ramsgate, we got tonked 9-1. I mean, that it's tough. It's a hard watch. All right. We stayed up and fantastic. But you're competing with teams, I mean, Ramsgate, Sitting Bull, their budgets are they get big crowds, so they can probably afford the budget. They've got wealthy individuals. But the money, certainly at step four, and at step five, I'm hearing, has gone boo-loo crazy. And some teams go with it, and they've got wealthy individuals filling that, and other teams are suffering because I guarantee, well, not the crowds at some in our league, the Ramsgates, the coastal towns get decent crowds. Where we're so concentrated around in our area of, VCD are close to us here from Belvedere, and you've got Dartford, Welling, who are higher. Everyone's pulling on that same non-league supporters. Hard to get the supporters in, and you have to try and think outside the box. Erith Town, who come up this year and are doing fantastically well. But we're all pulling for the same supporters, but it's hard to compete. So going back, step five, if we did go down, me personally, I would enjoy it because we'd hopefully win more games of football. The FA VARs, you were talking about it, the best competition. You go to step four, you're never going to go far in a trophy. You might win one or two games, but that's your lot. It goes up to obviously National League. So the VARs, VCD, won on the Saturday before last, Epsom Hill, they're now in the last 16, got home draw. I mean, I think VCD's name could be on the cup because the game before, I'm trying to remember who it was. I don't know if you know the story, over 3-0 down at half time. VCD were 3-0 down at home against the Step Six side. Come out second half, one of the VCD players has gone down with a broken ankle, couldn't be moved. Game got abandoned. And then VCD next week, and it should have been played really at VCD, but somehow the FA switched it. But VCD went away and won 2-0. So for me, that's a sign. If you're 3-0 down, you're going out. And then it got abandoned, and now they've won that away game. They beat Epsom and Yule, and now they're in the last 16. So they could be a good fancy to go. And there's, to be fair, the Scaffold League this season shows how strong that is. But
Nice.
which in it,
That's quite a frightening league, in all fairness, when you see some of the names that are in there.
Faversham, I mean, they're not in it anymore, but if you believe what you hear, Faversham, what they're playing, there's a life. But they're doing well, although VCD beat Faversham 4-1 on Saturday.
Yeah, I
So,
saw that. Yeah. But Marcus, I mean, have you ever had that, haven't you, where you've had a game abandoned and come back and won the rearranged fixed rearranged game?
I have actually. When I was manager at Basildon Town, we was 3-0 up at half time, and one of their players went down just as the whistle went, knee injury. They had to get an ambulance. Ref called the game off. We had to go back there later on in the season on a Tuesday night, I believe it was, and we won that one 1-0 late on. Yeah. So, but it, not been losing 3-0 and to go elsewhere, and no chance. So I
I
don't
think the
think I've
one,
ever had that much luck.
I mean, the only one I ever remember like that for myself being at a game was, and it was a game where both teams were fighting relegation in the Isthmian North, and it was Harlow against Weir at Weir, and before they had the 3G surfing, and I think it was even Boxing Day. It was a Boxing Day game, and I took my, I think my father-in-law came along with us. It was only my father-in-law and my dad came along. We were watching the game, and all of a sudden, I think it was 1-0 down, 2-0 down, Harlow, and then there was a few challenges flying in all over the place, and the pitch was just water everywhere. And the referee, I think Danny Brown, the centre half at Harlow, went through somebody like a ton of bricks, and the referee just turned around to both captains and went, "Look, you got to stay on your feet. Any more slide tackles, and the game's going to have to be called off," he said, "because it's getting too dangerous." Anyway, about 5 minutes later, Danny Brown had just gone straight through some guy, ex-professional, with all the rest of it, and he's built like a brick shed, shall we say, in the politest ways. And one of those guys you wouldn't want to see in a light alley, let alone a dark alley. And he's just literally gone through this bloke. The game got abandoned, and it went to the rearranged game. Harlow ended up winning the game at the rearranged game, and Weir went down. And it was just one of those games where it was like, wow, it could have gone, it literally could have gone either way. But with Great Wakering this year, Marcus, I mean, you've had that sort of, big disappointment at Wembley last year. I mean, how did you sort of pick the players up, and how many of your squad from that game, actually did physically stay with you for the first game of the new season?
Well, it was an almighty low, put it that way. It was tough. A lot of things happened off the pitch. I was getting some pelters from all sorts, and it was really tough actually. Yeah, the pre-season break, a couple of weeks after, I contemplated what to do. Obviously, players moved on. That was a bit unhappy that they wasn't in the squad that day. We had to leave five players out. Of the squad, because we had to carry a big squad because we had so many games towards the end of the season, we was carrying a fairly big squad, but everyone was sort of involved in the day, and with the disappointment of leaving people out, then you can only use three subs out of the seven, so then there's more disappointed. There was more disappointed people than there was happy, to be honest. And yeah, some players moved on, unfortunately, and I get it happens in football, but no bridges were burnt. we managed to retain a good core of players. And then yeah, we had a bit of a probably a bit more than a mini rebuild. We had to we started pre-season early. We got some new boys in, and to be honest, we built really happy with what we built. And then as the sort of the time's gone on from then, we've had a few boys that moved on that just asked if they'd be welcome back. And as I said, no bridges were burnt. So I think we've had four come back since that are all regular playing in the squad now. So yeah, it's as I say, it was really, really tough. The biggest high to so the biggest low in a matter of hours. But yeah, as I say, it was tough, but we're going well. And obviously sometimes that teams that do well in the Vars the next season, you sort of look and they're like, oh, where are they? But we're still right in the mix. We're in the playoffs, sitting in the playoffs now, deep in three cup competitions. So we're going to have I think next month we've got 8 games in 28 days. So it's already started, but the squad's ready to deal with it. We've got a not a massive squad. I've cut it down a little bit this year because it did get a bit tough to manage just leaving like four, five, six players out on a Friday. But now we're sort of in a position where we're only really leaving out one or two, which is also always tough. But them sort of conversations with leaving players out now after leaving players out at Wembley become a little bit, it's not easy, but easier.
I mean, just in case that Andrew Brettway, of course, in the FA Vars final last year against Romford was what we were talking about. And I mean, with it though, I mean, the day itself, do you, I know it didn't go the way you wanted it to go, but do you still look back at that day as, you know, as a really good memory for, you know, for a young manager?
Course, yeah, 100%. It was amazing. It was a strange day. It was different to obviously a usual match day. It was very structured and you had to be out in a change room at 52 minutes past one, and so it was crazy. And then after the game, when obviously the disappointment, you rushed into a press conference room and you got all people firing questions at you, and really you just want to be in the change room with the boys and making sure that. But I wasn't in the change room for a good 15-20 minutes, and as I got in, sort of, yeah, everyone was sort of very disappointed and trying to obviously enjoy what they could of the moment. But yeah, it was obviously dampened by the result, and these things aren't unfortunately happen in football. And unfortunately, one team had to lose. We was very disappointed with how we lost, and obviously, yeah, a lot of things sort of happened sort of that evening with just people just being people, to be honest with you. And yeah, it was difficult, but yeah, as I say, with you have to grow a thick skin in non-league football, that's for sure. And I learned that very, very quickly. And I thought, obviously, the higher you sort of the manage the worse it probably gets. So it's, yeah, being a young-ish manager, 36 now. So it's still young, and I guess. But yeah, I've had to grow a very thick skin and just, yeah, take what you get. And obviously, you have to remember the highs and take the positives when you get them.
Did you get stick then, mate? Did you get stick after the fire?
Yeah, to be honest, it's not something I've really gone into with many people, only close people, my wife, my family. Yeah, I received a few sort of messages that was really hurtful, to be honest. Yeah, death threats.
What?
Believe it. Yeah, honestly, yeah, non-league football, and I've still got the messages and the screenshots of them, but they won't go anywhere. They're for me. And
Yeah.
it was a long night. It was it was really strange. And as I said, I learned. I laid on it for a couple of days and thought, what's going on? And then, as I said, I spoke to a few people and they said, like, you just got to get through it. It will probably get sort of worse if you want to go higher in management. And I want to go higher in management. Preferably with Wakering. I love being at Wakering. It's a lovely club and it's run really well. So, yeah, as I said, it was really tough, but yeah, we're here now and we're okay. And yeah, as I say, them sort of things. I don't know whether that was drink talking and stuff like that, but yeah, it was a sad time. It was hurtful, but as I said, you have to grow thick skin very quickly.
Marcus, from our point of view, don't know you, but what a fantastic achievement to get to the final. You know, teams enter, and I'm blown away. You got to the, you know, you've actually managed a team at Wembley in a cup final. You know, at a young age, absolutely amazing, fantastic.
Thank you. Cheers.
Yeah, I mean, Phoenix, our best. We got to the last 16 when we was in step five. That was our best year, and what a buzz we had. Won away at Bodmin, then we lost to North Shields away, and but when you when we got to that level and we play, you think you can sort of feel it, you know, the Wembley, well, not the Arches anymore, but you know, you're getting closer, and unfortunately we lost to North Shields, but what a weekend we had. It's a great cup competition. I mean, I get if you lose, you're devastated, but you'll look back at some stage in your career and think, oh, I managed a team that played in the cup final at Wembley, and there ain't many managers that can say that.
Definitely not. We, as you said, we had some really, really good away days. To be honest, the club really looked after us. We stayed away. The coaches and supporters, it brought everyone together. And obviously, the day at Wembley was it was even the night before we the club paid for us to stay Hilton Hotel that professional club stayed at, and we was really looked after. It was really, really, really good. And obviously, as I said, the disappointing thing was the result. And yes, there's things that I look back at now, but everything now is in hindsight, and it can't be changed. I wish it could, but it couldn't, and it'll be a memory that everyone will live with forever. And yeah, it was certainly be up there in my football career, that's for sure.
Oh, well, you'll get there, won't it, one day, or maybe higher in a trophy or the when you take a Great Wakering up.
That would I think promotion would run it close. But yeah, I'd say that day was yeah, it was special, and yeah, it will definitely stay in the memory forever.
The actual. I mean, I could second it from Marcus. I was there. I was lucky, and I was invited by. I shouldn't say it really, but Marcus only, but Romford invited me to go there and help them out on the day. And it was, I was blown away by the whole day. I mean, the whole day was just absolutely incredible. You know, win or lose, whatever the score would have been, it was just mind blowing. I think I had goosebumps from the minute I walked in to the minute I went home. You know, other than the sort of 4.5 hour journey back for by train in the evening because they shut off all the trains. That was a bit of a nightmare. But the rest of the day, actually, when, as I said earlier on, the way they treated everybody was just incredible. It literally was like it was two Premier League sides taking part in a competition, or it was two whatever. You know, it was, you know, and I think away from the football side of it, I suppose, in a way, I suppose I looked at the, I was watching the FA Cup final, I think it was the week after, was the FA Cup final. And Alex Ferguson was sitting in the stand, and he had the same accreditation around his neck to what I had. And I was sitting there like that, and I paused the game, actually paused the game just to see if it was exactly the same as mine. And it was just simple, silly little things like that. It was just like, just absolutely incredible the way they sort of looked after. But for me, I'd like to go back to the semi-finals, Marcus, before we go on to this season, because those two semi-finals, your semi-finals and Romford semi-finals, they were epic. I mean, absolutely epic. You couldn't have written them, could you?
Yeah, I mean, when we got during that, we had someone that went and watched the opposition for us in the VARs, and after we played the first leg, it was a funny story really. We set up, we had the first one game, I think it was called off, and then for a waterlogged pitch, they offered us a pitch, a 3G pitch elsewhere, but we didn't accept it. It was so late notice, so we was basically made by the FA to go there the week after. We turned up Sixfield Stadium, unbelievable. It was you turned up there and I thought, God, this is something. 3,000 people, and we played really well. We had a really good chance to go 1-0 up before half time, and then we went 1-0 down quite late on. And a funny story, they started holding the ball in the corner, and my captain turned around to me and went, what do we do? I said, let them do it. Let them do it. I said, we will happily take 1-0 to Burroughs Park. And yeah, so after the game, I spoke to my mate that went to watch him, and he said, I said, what did you think? He said, honestly, he said, I thought they might beat you 4 or 5-1. He said, I think 1-0 is a good result to take them back. And lo and behold, we took them back to Burroughs Park, and we won it on penalties. And yeah, when I say Wembley was a good day, I think that day was really special. Honestly, when we won it on the penalty, our goalkeeper made the save to take us through, and the pitch was absolutely mobbed within 10 seconds. It was everyone. The whole village must have been out. That was a really big moment.
And the funny thing is, and Andrew probably won't know this, you had your sort of epic journey with yours, and I went to see Romford's first game, you know, and now manager got sent off after 10, I think about 10
I was there
minutes.
as well because
Yeah.
that game called
And
off. I went to watch.
he got sent off, Andrew, about 10 minutes into the game. And then they I think if I'm right in saying Lincoln United went 1-0 up. Then they equalised. Then they scored late on, didn't they? Which looked like it was offside. 2-1 to Lincoln, and then it was an equaliser right at the death. And they went up there, and that went to penalties as well. And I remember watching that because I was actually in Wales at the time on holiday, and it was that weekend. And I'd literally got it on my mobile phone, going, I got into it, and I just started penalties, and I went into the Tesco's, and of course, as soon as I went to Tesco's, my Wi-Fi dropped out. I hadn't got Scooby Doo what was going on, because it was going, "What's going on here? What's going on here?" You know, but two unbelievable, two semi-finals, and you know, and no disrespect, you know, I know some people would say this, but on the day, two fantastic teams, and it was a really good game of football as well. And I mean, I'm not sure if you've kept it, but I've still got it on my Sky Planner. It's still sitting on my Sky Planner, waiting to watching it. I think the funniest part from the whole day for me was Scott Doe, of course, player for Romford. He
Right.
played in the Vars, and then had to race off afterwards, get changed, put his suit on, because he was part of the match day team for BT Sport for the FA Trophy, which was quite funny, and run in and get his suit on so that you could go and do that. But this season, hey, you've got to be quite pleased with this season. Playoffs still in at the moment, sitting in there nicely, and you know, as you said, in those cup competitions, it's going really well. And I suppose now it's all focus on promotion, but. That meeting at the beginning of the season with the chairman, you know, that would have been a bit, you know, like, you know, last year FA Vars is finalist. What conversation was that like? You've got, you know, I want you to go and do that, or you're out and you're on, or didn't you say to you like, I want promotion?
I think the ambition has always been to get back to step four. We just missed out on the playoffs last year. I'd like to say it was because of the backlog of games, but I think it probably isn't a bit of an excuse. We probably just dropped points where we just switched off. I don't know, maybe Wembley was sort of, we got there and maybe that was sort of in people's heads a little bit, but at the end of the day, we didn't do enough. And then it was this season that just go for minimum was minimum. Our minimum objective was playoffs. We're sitting fourth now. I think yeah, it's not much of a cushion. It is really tight. There's it's sort of top seven teams at the moment that are looking there. There's still a couple just outside that. As you know, teams can put a good run together and sneak their way in, which you've got sort of teams like Bakersfield, White Ensign, and that looking over. You're looking over your shoulder, thinking if they win a few games in a row, they're right back in the mix. So we can't drop too many points. We've had a couple of draws lately that I think, based on the game, we probably should have took 3 points, but. That's football. And we was unlucky Saturday. I thought we played Woodford, who are second in the league, drew 0-0 at home. Their keeper was on fire. To be honest, their keeper made a really, really good save really late on, which kept it a 0-0. Little bit disappointed, but not with the result, because the result it isn't too bad. We said it was a must not lose, so to draw, yeah, it was okay. But I think we. On the whole, really, to not get 3 points was a little disappointing. But we've got a run of games now, Tuesday, Saturday, and as I say, we play 8 games in February. So it's going to be it's big, big, tough month. Two cup games in there, 6 league games. So yeah, we've got it all to play for. But yeah, so we're in training tomorrow night, and look, a few things to work on. But I think the lads know where we sort of need to improve. Defensively, we're okay at the moment. Quite a solid Saturday. We didn't really give up many chances, but probably just need to be a bit more clinical and a bit better in the final third. But we've got the players to do it, that's for sure.
I'm just looking at your fixtures, Marcus, as well. It's just weird because you've had with the Woodford game, Woodford game, you've got four games at home,
Yeah.
and then after that you've got 4 games away, and after
Including
that,
two away cup games.
yeah, and then after that you've got 6 games on the bounce at home, and then you
Yeah.
finish off with 2 away games. I mean, that's just crazy.
To sum it, we've got there's them four league games away from home, and then in the middle of them we've got Halstead away in the cup and Saffron Walden away in the cup. So a fair bit of travel next month. So I hope the boys are prepared for it. I sent it in the group last night saying, look, this is what we've got this month. But to be honest, the boys are they're really committed, really dedicated to it, which for me it means a lot, and it shows that they're ready to sort of fight for everything, really. We want to get promoted, and we want to win all three cups. That's us now. We've got the squad to do it. As I said, it's not the biggest squad, but it's very competitive. And I could at the sort of 19, 20, 21 players that we've got, I could start any one of them, and I genuinely don't believe we're any weaker with whatever side we put out, to be honest.
Are you looking? I mean, all right, the cards have got to fall in the right places, but of course, could be a revenge playoff final. You and Romford.
It could be Romford are just outside it at the moment, but they've got a really, really strong squad, to be honest. They over the last couple of weeks they've brought in some really, really good players. Scott Doe's just gone back there.
He's doing more. He's backs and forwards more times than the Okie-Kokie.
He's had a few clubs this season, but I think you always end up back at home where you'd probably call it where he's been for the last season, and obviously been successful with Romford. But yeah, we know that looking at their side on paper, I personally think that 11 is easily a top three or four side in this league. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put a run together and sneak inside the playoffs as well.
I mean, Stanway Rovers, though. I mean, people said to me before the season started that Stanway would be the favourites for the league, and they sit 4 points clear at the minute. I mean, is that the case in your eyes as well?
Really good side, really, really good side. The 11, 12, 13 players don't really change too much. I think they went out of cups early, so they pretty much go Saturdays and Saturday, which is probably an advantage. But they are a really good side. They're well drilled. They know what they're doing. They've got some big boys at the back, and going forward, they've got a couple of really lively wingers, and they've got Ross Wall. Ross Wall plays in the nine, who's he's been around non-league for a long time. But yeah, they're a good side. They probably are the side to beat, in my opinion. But we've still got to play them at home. We've got a game in hand, I believe. So if we can beat them at home and win our game in hand with 3 points behind, then the pressure's on them. Say all the pressure's on them, which may help us.
We've had a couple of people sent stuff in. So I've got Sharon Bowers who said one none of us will ever never forget. I'm assuming that's the Vars final. Lewis Sell Cooker said Marcus Bowers Barmy Army. That Daniel Walker's put Super Marcus Bowers. He knows exactly what we need.
Yeah, playoffs, promotion, that's what we need. And a cup or two to go with it.
What's your sort of average gate, own gate, Marcus? Has it gone up since the last fight? Like, have you hooked in more fans?
I think it's sneaked up. The probably average has probably sneaked up maybe 15 or 20 per game, which a £10 a pop is a fair bit of money. So I think Saturday we had, I'm sure I've read somewhere it was 135. So we don't get massive gates.
You're
But
some.
we are quite far out. But as I say, we get a really good following behind the goal, to be honest. Lewis and the fans behind the goal, Lewis, Dan, and people like that, they bring in a nice little crowd behind the goal. They normally get about 40 or 50 behind the goal singing and that. And to be honest, they're really good. When they're on it, a Tuesday night normally, when they're on it, they're loud and they get us right going, to be honest.
Players like that, don't they? Players.
It is good, and the players love it, to be honest. And they score a goal, and they'll go and celebrate with them. And I think that means just as much to the fans. To be honest, we go in the bar with the fans after, and we'll go down at the pub after. Lewis come down there the weekend, and we all had a beer. And they're really good lads, and the club means a hell of a lot to them. And I'm hoping that we can sort of repay their support with certainly some silverware.
Yeah, definitely. What's
One thing
your
I've
Mark?
always said about Great Wakery, now they do the best burgers in non-league.
Have they? We did,
Now,
because we was in the Isthmian North for 2 seasons when we first got promoted into it, and Great Wakery, and we played them a few times. Obviously, they were in the same league, which would have been about 8 or 9 seasons ago. You was probably playing there, Marcus.
I was at Wakery, and I think I played maybe, yeah, 6 or 7 years ago. So probably just after. I think they may have, they was in the north when I played, but I'm not sure Phoenix were in there. You might have got moved to the,
Yeah,
that might have been when you got moved.
because we was up there for 2 seasons, and then they changed it, put us in the, which we should never have been in the north. I mean, I remember going to Wroxham and Dereham and places like
Wroxham on a Tuesday night, nothing like
Yeah,
it, eh?
exactly. But I enjoyed it in the north. Norwich, you know, there were some good clubs. I remember Great Wakering, you know, finally it was good. We had some good times there. But what's your view, Marcus, on, and it's probably a difficult one because you're a manager, not a chairman or ex-chairman, but have you noticed a hike in players' money demands over recent seasons? Is definitely jumped.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. There's the rumours you hear about the money in the Essex Senior League has jumped a hell of a lot. I've spoken to players myself that, just some of the money they're asking for is crazy. And I just, no, sorry, mate, it's not going to work. But I'll be honest, the group that I've got, none of them, I can, they'll get their expenses, and they don't even normally that bothered about it. They're good as gold, to be honest. They're never sort of like, oh, have we got any money this week? They're good as gold, to be honest. It's a really good bunch. But yeah, so you speak to people sort of outside the group, or you're interested in signing or something, and the money they throw about. I've spoken to a few people within the last sort of month or so, and I just think, how are you asking for that? And then you get them coming back going, oh, sorry, I'm going to stay where I am at the club I'm at, sort of offered more money. And you're like, how? I don't know how how clubs have got that sort of money. I don't think these players are pulling your leg either. I think they're genuinely serious, and I don't know how and where they get it from. You look at their gates, and they're not massive, and I just don't know where they're sort of funding it from. But look, fair play if the club's got it and they can afford it, then fair play to them. But yeah, I think Wakering's always been, you've got work within your means, and they didn't go silly after the Vars. Obviously, the revenue for that was good, but they've not sort of gone, right, you can have this year. It's never been like that. It's been, we want to be sustainable, and that's how they've always been.
Exactly. I mean, like you say, they made some great money out of that Vars run, but they're probably looking at, facility improvements.
Yeah, they've already done some, so.
Everyone's bills have gone up, and then, you've got to keep the club ticking over, and sustainable. But
Definitely.
it is tough. It is tough, and we noticed it became really tough. As I say, the bar of Phoenix was a big part, kept us not breathing, but it was a big part of us. And we noticed after COVID where people's drinking habits changed. Not the players, you want them drinking, but their habits, players prior would have a drink after the game. Players don't tend to drink as much now. Function bookings were down because I think cost of living crisis, COVID, people have not got that disposable income. So I understand it. And everyone's utility bills go up, and then players want more money. And as I say, where we are, sort of Dartford, well, Barnhurst, is Bexley Heath is where we are. We've got so many clubs around us
Yeah.
that everyone's competing, for the better players. And obviously, it is hard. It's hard to. I mean, do you have much coming through your youth system? Have you got much of a youth?
Yeah, we've got a couple of EJA teams. We've got an under 15s, under 16s. We train tomorrow night. We'll train the under 15s to be next to us. And to be honest, they've got a couple of really good lads in there. I know they've only just turned 15. We've got one young lad who comes and trains with us occasionally. And yeah, there's a big future at the club for some of the people. To be honest, I'd say this club, but I think there'll be clubs higher up that they'll be at. There's some really good lads. And yeah, as I say, I think the youth system has grown over the last few years, and hopefully it can keep growing, because I know obviously the youth systems in football are a massive part.
Yeah. But the other side of it is, because we've got a decent youth system, and we've had some good players come through. But as soon as you get a 17-year-old in your squad,
Yeah,
then
people understand that.
They're on everyone's radar, and
Yeah.
we've lost players to hired. You look at teams like Dartford, Welling, and hire Gillingham. They come and look at them. So it's hard. And then do you put them on a contract and they have to pay. We've done that, but that doesn't really work anyway. And you wouldn't want to stand in the way of a youngster
Definitely not.
anyway. But it's a double-edged thing. Hopefully they love the club they played for and they want to stay.
Yeah, we've got one lad who's been at the club. I think he's been at the club 18 years this year, Billy Johnson. He's still around now. He hasn't played too much this season with just bits the injuries and little bits going on off the pitch. But he's still around the club. He had a little bit of a calf injury lately, but he come Saturday, done the warm up, and he'll train this week with the lads. So yeah, I think they're few and far between now. The ones that will stay there for you sort of 10, 15 years, I think them days are. I think they're gone. Maybe the 0.1% that you'll get now. But yeah, it's a shame. It is a shame because unfortunately there's just so much money in non-league. The top three or four clubs in most leagues are throwing it, and fair play to them. As I said, if they can do that and they're going to be successful whilst doing it, then fair play. But hopefully that is sustainable and it doesn't take them up 1 year and then the next year it's gone, then they come back down, because it becomes a bit of a strange club then.
Definitely.
One thing I'd say is, as well, for anybody that was watching the show last week, of course, you know we had Merthyr Town on last week, of course, from the Southern League South. And of course, one of the big question marks that they had last week was the fact that the FWA, the Football Association of Wales, or the FAW, should I say, from the Football Association, they were offered, supposedly, that's all we can say, and it was £6 million to go and play in the football championship or whatever you want to call it in Wales. And I can tell you that if you've seen the news this week, of course, 96% voted against Merthyr going into there, so they will be staying in the non-league system in England. Of course, they are top at the moment in the South Division at Step Three, so we wish them all the very best. A lovely, lovely bunch of people, and we're glad to see that they're going to be still there. Hopefully, get promoted into Step Two next year, and move their way up through the English system rather than the Welsh system. But a big, I would say it's not a gamble, but it's a big thing to say. The 96% of their fans are, fan-owned club, and 96% of them voted no, they didn't want to go to the
Wow.
Welsh
And that's
system.
a lot of money to turn down. Six
Oh.
minutes, he said.
Yeah, and they've said no, and they're staying where they are. So, hey, happy days for them. Another 2-0 win, and they scored two goals. They seem to be scoring goals, guys, that after either in the second half, they're losing the first half by two or three and coming back. And then this week, they were 0-0 and against Taunton at 90 minutes plus and ended up winning the game 2-0. So, they're certainly a team that are never, you can't take your eyes off of in that. But the time's beaten us. And a massive thank you to Andrew. We wish you all the luck with Phoenix, and hopefully you'll get out of that the relegation zone and push on up. And Marcus, of course, as well, mate. It's fantastic talking to you again. And of course, a belated happy birthday to you as well.
Thank you very much.
And literally, hopefully, we'll see you up in step four next season as well. And
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that playoff final versus Great Wycombe. It's going to be a
That'd be nice.
good one. But from me, we'll be back next week. And a massive thank you for you guys for watching. And as I say, we'll be back next week. Good night.